back to the work session again this morning on House Bill 5053, the Oregon Department of Transportation. Ms. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This morning we're going to start with highway preservation. That's page 11. Pass that red tab. We started yesterday. Give you a minute. And I did hand out for you a replacement page. There's been an edit to the budget notes by leadership.
Okay.
I think it might be easier for you to work off of the spreadsheet that shows the it's in your packet, and it shows the governor's revised laid up against the LFL recommended budget. It'll be easier for you to follow if you.
Is it page 11?
Yeah, it's got page 11.
So it's.
What is it?
Just the full page?
Yeah. Current service level in the governor's revised budget is $293,180,451 and 381.49 MTE. The LFO is recommending an adjustment to the current service level by reducing the attorney general charge of $12,653. Program option packages and highway preservation. LFO is recommending the information systems efficiency reduction, which is actually a shift to central services. Package 115, the 221, LFO is recommending the package with a slight technical adjustment to reduce the salaries of the FTE by 2 months. And package 120, which is the efficiency package for this program, LFO is recommending the full amount. Package 133 is the shift of the grade crossing protection program from highway to the rail program. LFO is recommending that. LFO is recommending the shift of the materials lab to the highway. Of 17 positions, there's no dollars associated with that. So the total budget for highway preservation then at LFO is recommending $315,694,678.472
FTE. Okay, you've heard the recommendation of the discussion. Are there questions of members?
That's
President Butler.
Thank you. I beg your pardon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's without the adjustments to the administration and indirect routes or indirect charge adjustments.
That's correct. Let me explain the administration and indirect charge adjustments. In putting together this budget as a program budget, we have to be flexible in allowing the department to manage to the dollars that we are limiting them to. And so we have agreed that we would put all the estimated amount of administration and indirect charge all into one program area. And this is the amount that would be allocated to this program area. And so the limitation will actually be $293,991,000 with that amount moved to special programs for managing the indirect administrative charges.
I see. So
you can see that their actual target the budget is $315 million. Their limitation will be $293 million, and they will be coming back with some rebalances during the interim.
Okay, but it's appropriate that we would move the $315 million figure then.
You should move the $293 million figure because you will be moving the larger figure in special programs.
And under special, with the $21 million included in that.
Yes.
Okay. And the $21 million is derived, is it a percentage of the total highway preservation, or is it based upon elements, percentages of elements throughout the program?
The latter.
Okay.
The latter. The last part of LFO's recommendation is the budget note that leadership requested for the department to take necessary steps to identify changes in rules and procedures that will produce statewide cost savings, including the cities and counties, targeted at $275 million. That $275 million is a targeted figure. They're to work towards that. They may or may not achieve that during the biennium. They're to consider road construction standards, transportation land use, environmental standards, and process improvements. And they're to report those results to do the appropriate interim transportation committees and the emergency board by November 1st, 2000.
I'm having a little trouble finding the program option packages in the book.
The program option packages in the program budget are in under highway.
I found highway. I even found highway preservation.
Preservation is on page 25.
Mm-hmm.
The program budget doesn't break out the option packages in each of the program areas. That's something that I requested they do for purposes of putting the program budget together. So their packages are all defined on page 18. And some of those packages, like 116, 106, 120, are spread across all of the programs within highway.
Cool.
I'm going to try to ask a clarification then for the members. Item 115, the T21 project, the $39 million then is only a portion of the T21 funds. How many other budget issues are related to those T21 funds, and where would they be found?
They're found through, they're, if you look on page 18 of your program budget, there are portions of that 221 increase in bridge, safety, highway operations, modernization, planning, and special programs, and in local government. And as we go to each of those programs, we'll talk about those.
Okay. Questions of the committee? For a work session, so the chair would entertain a motion. If someone wants to make a motion.
I move, Mr. Chair, relative to the highway preservation portion at $293,991,525 and
407.72 FTEs. Representative Butler now moves the highway preservation figure of $293,991,525,407.72 FTE. Is there discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. All right, Ms. Jordan?
The next program is Highway Bridge Program. That is just following along in your packet. If you turn the page to the spreadsheet, the current service level is in the governor's revised budget is $122,441,683 and 208.45 FTE. LFO is recommending an adjustment for the Attorney General charges, reducing at $6,051. LFO is recommending on the program option packages the information systems efficiency reduction in bridge program. LFO is recommending the T21 technical adjustments to reduce the salary for 2 months. So the FTE is reduced to 9.66, and the total package then is $30,711,439. LFO recommends the reduction package 120 of $315,561, and the shift of the grade crossing protection from highway to railroad, and the materials lab from non-limited to highway. That is the package 115. We used 2 months salary for recruitment period. We used $30 million for 2 months.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, within that package there are 10.5 FTE.
Right.
And LFO has determined that they aren't going to have time to fill those positions beginning July 1, that a more appropriate recruitment would take about 2 months.
Right.
And so we've reduced 2 months' salary out of 10.5 FTE, which reduces their full-time equivalent, still the same number of positions, but they won't start work until August or September, so we take the money out of budget.
So by another question,
yes.
Delaying it for 2 months for 10.5 people means $30.7 million?
Yes, Mr. Chair. From $30,800,000.
It's a reduction of $89,184.
See, she's reading the whole thing.
I know, it's
she's
whole
not looking at the difference between the two. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
that's the new total. Who wanted to know
30 minutes?
That's the new total. Oh, okay, I see. You showed the difference.
Yeah,
I thought.
Okay, further questions. Representative Schrader.
I had a question on the number of FTE increase. It goes from 129 to 226. What are the thresholds there? What's up on that?
Where are you?
Are you on the bridge?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
oh, from the estimated to the... Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, one of the things that we've done in this budget is to determine what FTE and what dollars are... appropriate for each program area, and so what we've attempted to do is make that as real as possible, and so the changes here are likely to be because of those shifts.
Follow up then?
Sure.
So in other words, what you're saying is that this agency has reworked its budget into program areas, so the attempt here is to more accurately reflect the FTE in the appropriate budget areas. So from now on, it shouldn't change so dramatically.
There are likely to be rebalances during the
final
right.
Right. But aren't the package 115 people new people? 60 for FTE?
Mr. Chair, Senator, 64 FTE are new people, and they're spread throughout the highway programs. In the bridge program, there are LFO is recommending 9.6 FTE out of the total.
A much question I have on the previous recommendation and on this, and we have package 149, the shift materials lab highway. Is that just an accounting move, or is it something of substance that we're shifting one functional agency to another for accounting or responsibility of a boss?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the materials lab shift is because the nature of the work has changed, so that it is no longer appropriate for it to be a part of their non-limited budget, and it is appropriate for them to be now accounted for within the highway program, and so they have allocated the FTE that had previously been in another program area to this. And that is part of the, that comes as a result of their look at the agency and putting their budget together in a program format and identifying that.
Will that be reflected in the services and administration? Central services and administration?
It, Mr. Chair, will be reflected in the non-limited program, yes, as a reflection.
But it will appear where?
It does appear, non-limited isn't a part of the budget, so it's not the end, but it is documented in the central services program area.
Okay, all right. So it will show up there.
Definitely.
Okay, further questions?
There are no budget notes for highway bridge program.
Okay. Is there any further questions or discussions? Or for them about
just one further question. This is exclusive of the amounts that are being transferred back to the counties and cities for the major bridge programs. Is that correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Chair, I would move the LFO adoption of the LFO recommended budget for the highway bridge program of $141,721,552.226.3 FTE.
You've heard the question and discussion, and the motion is to adopt the LFO recommendation level of $141,721,552.226.30 FTE. Is there further discussion?
If not,
it's been so approved.
Ms. Jordan? Okay, we'll move on to Highway Safety Program. That's page 13. And the spreadsheet is behind page 13. Governor's revised budget current service level is $41,888,978.85.53 FTE. Again, LFO is recommending a reduction to current services for the Attorney General charges. The reduction is $2,751. I am recommending the Information Systems Efficiency Package, the technical adjustments for the T21 portion is 0.32 FTE reduction and 33,973, so the total package now will be $11,645,774. LFO is recommending packages 120 and 133. 139 is the shifted FTE. LFO is recommending that the access acquisition for in local network package be deferred until the discussion on the substantive legislation for revenue bonds occurs. So that is a reduction of $20 million. This is the access control piece. So the total budget for highway safety program is $53,286,179.91.61 FTE. With the administration indirect charge adjustment, it's $49,488,166. There are no budget notes.
Representative Carr.
Thank you. I noticed this department also has a significant increase in FTE from 22 and 95, 97 to 92. And this plan, can I just have a brief explanation of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Starr, the explanation is the same as it was for the previous program area. Well, the department is refining its program function. It is moving the appropriate FTE to this program area, and that is why you will see the large increase from their estimated.
So I'll see follow-up. So I'll see a reduction in FTE and some other part of other programs.
Yes, I would assume. Yeah.
Senator Shepard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I would like to see that before we move entirely on this budget. I would like to see a spreadsheet of all these shifts, where they're coming for the new employees. I mean, we have some new employees in option 115. You know, I mean, that's fine. We've got those, and maybe we can show. But I think it's important for us to see where these people are moving from and to where they are moving. So we can just, you know, watch that. But I have another question, Mr. Chair, regarding when package program option package 115 is mentioned in each of these spreadsheets, and then we're reducing the 2 months for recruitment. And there's X number of dollars for this, for these projects. If we save money in recruiting personnel, these 2 months of recruitment, will we be able to recapture that money in the actual project itself? What is happening to the money that we're saving because a recruitment can't happen for 2 months?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chu says, currently what's happening is it's just going to sit on the table until the end where we'll do a presentation. I'll give you a summary of the dollars that have been taken out and what their appropriate uses could be, and then you can put them where you think it would be the most good. Thank you.
It thus indeed was described as accrued savings to the subcommittee.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And then we will make allocations based upon whether we'd like to add something back, if it's highway maintenance or whatever else, and we can redirect those resources. So, although you're seeing the money recommended for removal, it's accruing to a pot over here that the committee will have to look at.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Butler, do you have any questions? Representative Schrader?
On the, what is the substantive legislation that's got the $20 million in revenue bonds or something along those lines? And then also, what is the debt service that was to go along with that $20 million? Is that
$20 million was to create a bond of indebtedness to buy access for some of these safety roads to safety corridors. Highway 22, I think, is one of those that they were going to go along here and stretch a highway and buy some accesses so people wouldn't just be driving out on the highway where high-speed traffic was involved. The bonded indebtedness was supposed to be paid for by out of operating revenues, I think. Yeah, that. Grace, would you like to come forward, and Mike Marsh?
Mr. Chair, while they're coming forward, the particular legislation is House Bill 2197 relating to the bond issuance authority, and it is been referred to Ways and Means, but it has not been assigned to the subcommittee.
Okay. Grace, would you... The $20 million bond use indebtedness, Representative Schrader wanted to know where it's going to be used or how it's going to be used and how you anticipate paying for the bonded indebtedness debt requirements. Is that your question?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Grace Cronican, Director at ODOT, we have the bond payment is $5.8 million for both the access program and the local street network program together, and that's included in the budget. In which section, Mr. Marsh?
Highway safety for this one and local government.
The debt service is in the debt service portion of the budget, though.
And, Mr. Chairman, the Representative Schrader, the access program itself, the projects that would go to would... It'd be partnered with, in part, the local street network program, so that as we go to put in a local street network someplace, we would use the access funds in conjunction with that project, those projects, so that as those projects reconnect with the state highway in some sense or wherever the added pieces are that are needed to kind of nurture the state highway along as well as provide the local network, they'd be in combination. So we're designing a program over at ODOT right now that would set standards so that local projects could compete for these funds. And the access piece here is the part that goes along the state highway that parallels the local road network piece.
Yeah.
Just a comment. I'm very interested in this type or this concept. I think it has some great promise. One of the biggest problems that we've been dealing with has been access issues.
And you don't want to just take away a person's access. I think that a lot of these have deeded rights that go back many, many years. I do understand the safety concerns that ODOT has, and as we get busier and higher traffic flows, it may be important. And I know in some of the towns that I'm involved in, that one of the concepts is to kind of provide frontage streets and other ways to access the highways or for the businesses. I'm very concerned about the businesses having a viable opportunity to get their clients, if you will, or their customers in the door. So I think this type of concept is very, very important. I would hope the chair would maybe request that substantive legislation has been assigned to Ways and Means to be assigned to this subcommittee so we can at least talk about it. If there is any money at the end of our deliberations, we can chew over should this project continue or not.
Okay, I appreciate the request, and certainly we can notify the co-chairs of what our intentions would be, but can indicate to the committee right now that we're starting to drag down time-wise here, and we don't have enough time to finish our workload that's been assigned to us, so we either need to be on time at 8 o'clock or not get our work done. We're still in the service morning, and the house wasn't. And so,
it makes it even, doesn't it?
Pardon?
It makes it even for the week, doesn't it?
I'll make it. Anyway, what I would suggest is that's fine if you want to address the co-chairs and have transportation related bills here. I think they will. Tomorrow we're going to have a work session and a public hearing on some transportation bills, including the smart jitneys. And so all those things together affect what we do with this budget. And I want the involvement, input, and ideas in the subcommittee. Cindy.
Yes, Chairman. In the Assembly Transportation Committee, we heard a lot of concerns about highways that have a lot of safety problems. For example, the highway between Salem to the coast. They came and testified about the need to address those safety issues. How does the budget here address the high priority issue of safety problems?
Chair Hannon, Senator Yee, for the most part, those safety problems are addressed in part in the safety budget, in part in the capital improvements part of the budget, because some of those, for example, in a couple of places we're planning, we've got a project in the skip for passing lanes. I'm not sure the exact source of those funds, but I suspect that those are not right out of the safety pot. So there's a combination of safety funds and a combination of the capital dollars that we spend for modernization of the system. The access management portion of this might be applied in that particular case. This program wasn't intended to set up to exclusively go solely with local street networks, but for the most part, I think the access issues that would be on that would be funded out of the right-of-way section of the budget that deals with capital construction projects. We're trying to hone this particular program to the local street network program and complement that program on the state highway system. Safety is in almost every project we have. There's an element of safety in every project, if not the whole entire project.
Grace, if you could, I'd rather not go there yet, Cindy, because we still have some other recommendations of LFO. When we arrive there, with maintenance or preservation, Grace and Mike Marsh could possibly identify what might or may not be as far as the Highway 22 issue, highway safety. But until we get to those recommendations, I'd rather not go there because we're getting ahead of ourselves.
So as long as I hear that part of it is taken care of here and part of it in the capital construction, and then you can give us more information later when it comes up, it answers my question.
Okay. Ms. Jordan?
That is the recommendation.
Okay, the chair would move that we adopt the LFO recommendation. $53 million. So that we adopt the figure of $49,488,166.91 to the highway safety program. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Okay.
Now we'll move on to highway operations. We refer to this hallway, page 4. The highway operations program includes projects like traffic signals, driver communication, access management. That corrects traffic problems to that compromise safety, incident management, and demand management. The governor's revised budget for the current service level in this program area is $8,481,079.13.56 FTE. LFO is recommending that there be an adjustment to that of $550, reducing the AG charges, and an increase of $23,729 to address the reclassification of an information systems position. And the total current service level budget there is in is $8.5 million. Also is recommending traffic management and operations package of $302,149 reduction. That is reducing the 2 month salary for the recruitment period on traffic management operations. This particular package results in it's an increase in FTE, and it's a total reduction. And when you reduce the recruitment period for the positions, it increases that reduction. The information systems efficiency is recommended. T21 project 115 is also recommended with the 2 month salary adjustment. The efficiency options for change package is recommended, and the grade crossing protection highway shift to rail is recommended, and the shift of the materials left to highway. The total LFO recommended budget is $19,710,334.32.56 FTE, with the adjustment for administration and indirect charge, that is a $17,493,979 budget. And there are no budget notes.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, I represent the Butler.
Now, I do have a question on package 105 there, traffic management operations. There's a 2 month recruitment. There's a difference between 221,000 and 302,000.
The actual reduction is 148,899 that's added to the proposed reduction of 221,099.
Difference between the 221,000 and the 302,000 is nearly $80,000 for the 2 months on 10 positions.
Okay, is there further discussion or questions?
Second question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
The reclass of the information systems position is $23,729. That's reclassed over to some other portion out of this.
Representative Butler, the agency has had a review of the information systems positions ongoing while their budget was being forwarded to the legislature, and there was a determination that was made too late for them to include it in the budget to increase the classification level of this position. And the amount of the additional cost to make that position the appropriate level for the work that they're doing is the $23,000. So it should be, it should have been a part of their current service level, but it could not have been included before this time.
Any further discussions or questions?
Just by way of comment, Mr. Chair, the concern that had been expressed by a member of the committee, if you look at on page 14 of 25, the actual position is moving from 86.49 down to 32.56. This is one of those that will be used that reclassification process. We'll get a reconciliation from Ms. Jordan on.
That would be helpful. You get a breakout. Just be one column that says this is maybe what happens to the highway lab fund or the materials lab to Hawaii or Hawaii. That's where I'd rather be. For a highway fund and say this is what the cost is, this is what the cost shift is. And also to do that with the grid pricing. I'm seeing $22,000 in this one. It was $20,000 a few moments ago, $40,000. It would be helpful to see how much of this grid crossing is being transferred and how do we track it. I want to know what this money is being spent for and why.
Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh has copies that have previously been handed out that give you that explanation, but they've already been handed out.
Mr. Chair, just a moment. In response to the questions of April 5th and April 6th, we covered an overall for the department that looks like this, and we can get more copies made if the members don't have ready access. This is a whole department reconciliation of FCD on April 5th, and on April 6th, it goes through the highway shift specifically.
Okay.
Happy to do that at whatever point there.
Does this apply itself to the question you just asked? That this total breakout.
Mr. Chair, it talks about the shift within highways. Answering the question asked in the committee of explaining the increase in highway FTE for the budget. Looks like your staff is already located.
Good. And I won't be that much work to do.
I will summarize that, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Put it on one page.
Yeah, that
the whole
be,
department.
That would be helpful. Okay, is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would move.
Senators, you have now moved that we adopt the highway
operation LFO recommendation, Mr. Chair, for $17,493,979.32.56 FTE to the full committee of support. Well, no, we're moving this part before we do the whole budget.
Senator Cusack has now moved that we adopt the LFO recommendation on the highway operations fund of $17,493,979.32.56 FTE. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Ms. Jordan?
Okay.
Highway modernization.
Page 15 in the finder's pursuit following that page. Highway modernization program, current service level in the governor's revised budget is $228,898,729.312.84 FTE. LFO is recommending the Attorney General charge adjustments for a total current service level of $28,927. The only changes in the packages that LFO is recommending here is the technical adjustments reduced the 2 month salary for 221. That is a $55,209 reduction in 0.52 FTE. And other than that, ELFO is recommending the reduction packages and the shifts in grade crossing protection, materials lab, and information systems. For a total budget of $217,461,583,
and 330.26 FTE. With the administration indirect charge adjustment, that's $202,645,297 budget with a 330 FTE. There are no budget notes in the modernization program.
Before recognizing Representative Bett, it has on your shift emphasis from modernization to preservation and maintenance. Who made the policy decision to shift?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is a Department of Transportation or Transportation Budget and Governance policy to make that shift from modernization to preservation and maintenance while they are dealing with smaller resources.
Grace, would you come back up along with Mike Marsh? The overall net effect of T-21 funds is, let's push on T-21, you say federal funds, is you got a net gain this time. Isn't that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And has the commission adopted a policy to shift the emphasis from modernization to preservation and maintenance?
Mr. Chairman, the commission has taken an active role in redefining the highway plan, which they worked on for the last 2 years, and the emphasis is on preserving what they have. And those policies are embodied in the highway plan, which the commission adopted, I believe, in March this year.
One of the problems we are facing with the transportation package is that there's some of our colleagues who feel that additional federal funding came through the ODOT, and now we're seeing a change in emphasis on maintenance and preservation without using some of those new dollars to go out and purchase additional transportation. In other words, expanding the freeway, expanding flow, traffic flow, looking at other technologies and so forth. My question is, if this is a decision that the governor made or the ODOT commissioners made, this is a category here. It says highway modernization program, and now you say you're de-emphasizing the modernization going to preservation and maintenance. Maybe we could change the name of the account then.
Mr. Chairman,
you're not going to do modernization. Why call it modernization?
Mr. Chairman, we are still doing modernization. We're investing annually in terms of new projects in the STIP and the State Transportation Improvement Program for the $54 million statutorily that we're required to do. So we'll have a program of $54 million in new projects. We try and target that. We get a little above that slightly. This project reflects both the standards set in the STIP for modernization and then the carryover work being done from past years, which is why you see the number you see. The funds from the T21 that we received, a large portion of them were spread out, most of them were spread out over the areas of preservation, bridge, and safety. And those are the three areas of emphasis the commission has put after looking at all of the condition ratings from the system and the current status of the system compared with the revenue that we have. Assuming that we have no increase in gas taxes, this tax, or any vehicle registration fee or weight distance tax fees, it's the commission's recommendation and adopted policy in the highway plan to sustain the system that we have, and they put the budget recommends at the recommendation of the commission that we put the T21 funds toward safety, bridges, and preservation, and that's why you see the budget that we have here.
Okay. Are there questions to committee members? Representative Starr?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Every one of these budgets we've adopted dealing with that have T21 dollars in it, package 115, every one of them have additional FTE along with that. And I'm just concerned that we have a state, you know, budget that's been pretty flat, up a little bit, but FTE seems to grow all along the way. We've got to have teaching positions to spend this extra dollars. Is that just the bottom line? Can't we spend this money without growing the department FTE-wise?
Mr. Chairman, our overall FTE between the 97-99 budget and the 91-01 budget has actually gone down. We were at 4,825 positions in the 97-99, and in the 99-01 we're at 4,791 positions. That's a loss of about 32 positions.
The information we have shows differently. Information I have says you had 95, 97, you had 44, 95, 97, 99, you had 47, 22. So we have a recommendation for 48, 10 for this one.
Mr. Chairman,
what page are you working on?
I'm just reading them from the very front page, the top LFO package, second page.
And Mr. Chairman, in the highway program, there is an increase in FTE in total. Their total budget is increased, primarily due to the shift that they're showing in the of the 46 position from DMD to the central hearing panel. So there is an increase in highway program.
Mr. Chairman, if you're looking at 95, 97, we had
four. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure we're clear about biennium. It was 4,495 and 95, 97. In the current biennium, it's 4,722 is what's shown on the LFO sheet with adjustments. And the recommended amount is 4,810. And the difference there is basically the 64 positions that we're talking about in highway is what makes up for the difference. Mr. Chair, overall, in the budget, with the exception of those positions coming in as part of the federal funds, the budget is very close to neutral.
And to be explicit, Mr. Chairman, Representative Starr, the federal funds already FTE are located.
So we have to increase the people in order to spend the money.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Starr, generally that's correct.
Representative Schroeder, that would presuppose that there's been no reduction over the last biennium types of projects that have been done. I mean, because you would theoretically have more FTE available. So I assume that the workload has not dropped off in terms of construction or modernization over in the highway department anyway over the last 3 to 4 years.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schroeder, in terms of overall work, I think Doug was talking about yesterday the issue of still need to have engineers to do the work. You have to get the contracts out. That's the process that we're about, and whether it's federal funds or state funds, there's still processes you have to go through to ensure that we have competitive process and make sure that we get the work done on site. So that's the issue. You get the work out the door, and if you have the federal funds coming in, you need to use your positions in order to get it done. We will try to use contractors whenever it's most efficient. If we have short-term money, we will tend to use contractors more than for longer-term money. So the issue is we try to get that balance of when we use employees as compared to contractors. The challenge is most of the time on the contractors for this kind of work, it is more expensive to use the contractor.
Mr. Chairman, we also have used the contractors. In terms of funds, it's about a 2-to-1 ratio where 2/3 of the funds go out to contracting the services, 1/3 inside. That works out in terms of actual people bought, though, closer to 50-50 because outside firms are more expensive than the internal FTE. So we have the money is about 2/3, 1/3. The actual FTE themselves are less than that.
Just on that line of thought of contracting out for FTE, and I asked this question some time ago, but when you're talking about the FTE, are you counting the benefits and everything, the cost of an actual FTE versus contracting wholly out, you know, design, construct, build? Do you count it all?
But Mr. Chairman, for the Chief of Yes.
Okay. And it still is more to contract out.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. but that's not the only reason you would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are time, some time savings, and plus you're buying off workload that it's not going to be there overall, so you wouldn't want to staff up. The variety of people you hire to changes significantly, which you can't change an FTE from one kind of work to the other quickly.
But, Mr. Chair, to follow up on that,
yes.
Then, with the T21 money, if we are beefing up the FTEs by 64 because of the additional money, are we expecting to have that constant flow of money then?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chief, that's correct, we do. T21 money is for a 5-year period, and we expect, six-year federal bill, and we expect to have those funds flow in.
Okay. Further questions, Representative Carr?
I'm sorry to harp on this, but currently, under 95 or 97.99 current law, we have 312.84 FTE. The budget's going down, and FTEs are going up. I just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, Mr. Marsh.
Mr. Chair, just to make sure we're clear, I want to make sure that in terms of the LFO numbers, that is accurate about the current level or estimated column. The actual legislatively approved number, though, that you left last session with for 1997 was 4,825. So we've already brought it down approximately 100 positions from what was approved at the 97 session. That's gone down to the estimated level now of 4,722, which we're coming back and adding due to the additional federal funds. But we're still at a point where we've reduced down 100. We're coming back less than 100 in the amount of budget that's coming before you. So I want to make sure that perspective was there.
Representative Starr is looking at the on page 15 of my LFO recommendation on in the Highway Modernization Program in particular, and what he's comparing is the 97.99 estimated dollars of 297 million and 491.43 FTE to the LFO recommendation of 217 million. That there is. From current law to LFO, there's an increase in FTE, but a decrease in dollars. So, but what has happened here is that there is a reduction. While there's a reduction because of the efficiencies that the department is proposing, there is still increase. There is still work and more work in the project area. They have found ways to reduce their budget. One is by shifting their 152,000 in information systems, but also there's a $30 million efficiency reduction that they shifted to other areas. But they still have project activity going on that requires the FTE increase.
Okay. Representative Schwerner?
I'll pass, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Chair would now move that we adopt the LFO recommendations for the Highway Modernization Program. The figure of 202,645,297 and 330.26 FTE. Is there further discussion? Any objection? Senator Starr and Senator Kutub vote no. Is there further objection? Correct. The motion passes. Okay, Highway Planning Research Program.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. That's on page 16. Your spreadsheet follows. The governor's revised current service level of $18,042,068.40.82 FTE. LFO is recommending a technical adjustment to reduce the Attorney General charges that will bring the current service level to $18,041,518. The only adjustment that is being made there is the reduction, technical adjustment for the 2-month salary in the T21 program. That is a reduction of $16,958.16 FTE. the total program budget for highway planning and research then is $19,248,662, with the reduction for administration and direct charges, that budget becomes $17,321,397.4266
FTE. And I ask the $1,900,000 administration and indirect charge adjustment, where does that money go to? Are those highway dollars?
Those are highway dollars, Mr. Chair.
Are they continuing to accrue to the third committee for redistribution?
No, Mr. Chair. Those dollars you find will again be included then in the, under special programs as an increase. Those are actual dollars that the department will spend for those costs.
Okay. Representative Butler.
I had a question relative, and I know that it's a complex formula that you go through to derive that, but this amounts to at the $1,927,000 amounts to 10% of the total dollars on the highway planning and research, and the amounts that we've been looking at are substantially less in percentages. In terms of the percentages, 14 million on 217 million, for instance. Without getting into the complexities of the formula, what the particular factor under the highway planning and research generates so much more administration and indirect charge adjustment?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, the exact reason I can't tell you, but I can tell you that the department is working very hard to bring the cost of each program area as close as they can to that particular program area, and these are the costs that they aren't sure are going to fit here or they're going to fit somewhere else, and so they have asked to pull those out and put them somewhere else so that they can come back and rebalance those.
I see.
That you can't simply apply a percentage formula. They've done
right.
A careful look at this program area and said these are some things that we're not sure are going to, they may end up here or they may not.
Okay, so it's the complexity of the formula is based upon workload and projected workload and those kinds of things. Second question, Mr.
Yes,
Chair. And that is relative to this $221. We're nailing these for the 2 months, and those $221 are going to be, those are allocated based upon the utilization of those funds. Will we recapture those dollars? Will we still be entitled to the same number of federal dollars when we're all done, even though we're only going to run 22 of 24 months in the next biennium?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, is there further questions or discussion?
So, Mr. Chair, so why are we delaying the recruitment for 2 months?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, it's not a delay. It's a practical matter of how long it takes to get an advertisement out, the interviews taken place, and the person hired and on the job. It takes about 2 months.
Well, can they plan ahead so that there won't be a delay? After all, they need to take advantage of the construction season in the summer. So when delay is going to be constructed in the winter?
Mr. Chair, sorry, the money is not available to them until the 1st of July when they adopt the budget, so they can't hire a physician to... unless they begin recruitment early. They could actually.
Well, can they plan ahead, and when money comes, they can start?
Mr. Chair, Senator Neen, the department believes that they can. I believe that it's going to take them 2 months longer than they expect.
Mm-hmm. Then they can, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
They can start in September.
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, they're doing their work now. These are for the people that they'll be adding on as staff will be introduced to new projects that will be occurring during the biennium. their construction season is already underway for this summer.
Mr. Chair,
I was just
for a moment. Are you finished?
Well, I just like to, I know this issue has been going on in these budgets. What is the department's response to delay 2 months? Does that delay their construction? I mean, if they plan ahead, can they start as soon as the money comes?
Their construction season has already commenced. And if you look at the effective date of this budget, it's July 1st. And so it actually would carry them into the next interim period, as I understand the explanation. Mr. Marsh and Grace.
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to be impertinent, but if you maybe pass the budget in March, and we knew we were going to have the positions and have the money in the various categories, we could do the advertisements now and have everything, have an employee ready to walk in the door on July 1st. But as is always the case with our budget, we're toward the end of the session, and this is we're already in May, and assuming the budget passes in June, we'll put out the advertisements for these positions just as quickly as we can, but the legislative process doesn't need to finish until June, so Chief Staff is absolutely correct in saying we can't go from June 30th to July 1st and having advertised, interviewed, and signed people up. And the practicality of not having the authority for these positions or expenditure of these funds, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, you can't advertise until you know the budget is there. It's passed.
Mr. Chairman, we can't advertise until we have the authority to advertise, and we get that authority from the authorization of these positions and these funds.
It may not pass to July or August.
Okay, Representative Kerr.
Just another comment on another.
Grace, what is your budget? So you don't have to get up.
This is another program, another budget that the dollars are going down and the FTEs are going up on. Just for what it's worth. And I just have concern about that. I like this budget though. I mean, this program, I know that it's important. When we have mandated programs from the state level that we help local governments meet those mandates. So the overall idea I like, but I'm just concerned again that we have budgets going down with that piece.
Okay. Representative Butler?
I think the question that I had, or the observation that I had, has been answered made by LFO and the staff.
Okay. Any other further questions? Representative Schrader now moves that we adopt the LFO recommendation to the Highway Planning and Research $17,321,297.22.66 FTE. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Highway Special Program.
Sure, that's page 17 with the spreadsheet behind that page. Highway Special Programs, this is a program that you'll see the increase for the administration and indirect charge adjustment. The governor's revised current service level is $65,998,096.87.81 FTE. LFO recommends the technical adjustment for reducing the Attorney General charges. Current service level to be $65,995,335. LFO recommends the 2 month technical adjustment to the P21 package. That's a reduction of $15,988.16 FTE, and recommends the reduction for efficiencies of $112,456. LFO is recommending the winter recreation snow removal package of $750,000, but is recommending that package be scheduled pending outcome of legislation. And I believe if it is tied to legislation that is moving through the legislature, and that is I a minute, I'll tell you which package, which legislation that is.
2200.
And that has passed, the House is deferred to Senate Transportation, and a public hearing work session is scheduled, so it is likely to be, it looks like it's going to be approved, but in any case, I'm recommending that the money be unscheduled so until we know the actual outcome of that program.
Does that raise $750,000 in new revenue or additional revenue, or is the $750,000 included entirely within the bill?
It establishes a fee schedule that raises $750,000 for
what
this
is,
purpose.
What is the amount of money currently going into snow removal at the ski park area?
I would have to get that student information on how it here.
Chair, I had a member of the committee, Doug Pendle, Maintenance Engineer, Oregon Department of Transportation. About $1.1 million a year goes into snow removal in snow park areas currently. A little bit higher this year because of the heavy snow.
So the $1.1 million will go to $1.8 million?
Chair Hannon, not exactly. The $750,000 is a biennial number. So it's $1.1 million. Well, that we've been spending down the balance. $1.1 million will stay $1.1 million. The program currently takes in only about $800,000 a year, and we spend $1.1 million. There's been a balance in the snow park or the winter recreation fund, so we spent the balance down, and now we don't anticipate costs going up substantially, or we expect the cost to be relatively flat. We just need more income to pay for the snow removal.
Okay. Question. Representative Patridge.
We'd ask about the civil rights piece. No. There was a. The 137 pot.
Right.
Is out.
We haven't got to that estimate yet. Ms. Jordan?
If there are no more questions, I'll move on. The policy action section for civil rights compliance. This is a package that the department is proposing, a 24-month rotational assignment for their Office of Civil Rights, and they're asking for an FTE to accomplish that. I have reviewed their budget, and I believe that the rotational assignment can be managed through the agency vacancies, just as the agency uses vacancies to pay for increases in salaries above their expenditure limitations, that they could take a vacancy and dedicate that for a rotational assignment rather than add another FTE. And so I am recommending that that not be approved.
Sure.
Yes, Representative Patrick.
On the civil rights piece, though, I'm looking in the program budget, page 38. We're jumping from $1.2 million to $4.3 million for the civil rights area. I think we'd asked a question about that, and I don't remember what the response was because it's been so long. But with no increases in FTE because the POP 137 had no dollar amount for other funds, I'm wondering what's justifying $3 million, $3.1 million more in civil rights funding fees.
Mr. Kendall, you want to come up and join them at the table?
Chair Hannon, if I remember correctly, the increase here is again due to the these numbers were previously shown in what's called the highway construction budget and or construction limitation in the current budget, and again we're reallocating the numbers to more accurately reflect the specific duties that they're doing. How they doing, Mike?
Mr. Chair, fine. It was in the responses to the questions of April 6th. We're trying to track it down quickly.
I was trying to track it down. I couldn't hear it.
Okay. Further questions?
So you're just more follow-up than us.
Yes.
So you're just more accurately reflecting where civil rights compliance has been in your other highway divisions? Is that
yes, and again, overall within the department, we see that positions are stable. The positions and the dollars that are increasing here are a result of bringing out the program in the field and putting it into a civil rights program, so it's all within one program area.
Thank you.
Senator Q-Tab.
So we'll see that put and take. I mean, are we going to see it somewhere else that's being a reduction?
Yes,
okay. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I this is where you would note that the reductions in the other program areas result in an increase here in special programs for $69,462,080 of administration indirect charge to provide flexibility during the interim while the department learns to account for their program in each of the program areas. So this program then is a total of $140,642,788.89.
Okay. No further discussion.
I'm going to move the LFA recommended budget for highway special programs. $40,683,748.89.65.
Representative Schrader now moves that the committee adopt the LFA recommendations on the highway special program. $140,682,748.89.65. Is there further discussion? Is there objection?
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to get some information on the agency on the immediate opportunity fund. Let me get an opportunity to make a suggestion from a different flagman. No, that's on the
transfer to the
state. Is there further for that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there further discussion? If not, it's passed. Highway Emergency Relief Program. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Page 18 of your handout. The governor's revised current service level is 5.8 million and 9.71 FTE. LFO is recommending the same current service level. There would be no adjustments here on AG costs. The program option packages are recommended in total for a total budget of $5,874,852.09.71 FTE. There is a reduction here for the administration indirect charge for a total adjusted budget of $5,470,353. And there are no budget notes. This emergency relief program is the program that the agency uses to fund the major emergencies that are eligible for federal funding primarily, such as earthquakes and floods.
Is this a portion of highway gas dollars that are saved back to possibly mess federal dollars in case of a severe, say like you had a severe landslide somewhere or earthquake damage? This would allow you to leverage and get some federal funds to replace that?
Mr. Chair, no. These dollars are for a final work that's being done on past repairs of floods and other kinds of damage that were back in 1997. If a new disaster would occur, the agency would have to go to their operating budget to make immediate repairs, and then the governor would have to declare an emergency, and they would have to apply to the federal government for the federal funds to reimburse them for the repairs that they have to make.
Questions?
If there was no earthquake and no flood damages, then this department doesn't need the money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, this money is already allocated to contracts that are currently underway for repairs that have been completed. If there were no more
emergency repairs, they wouldn't need the money. That's correct. But this is already dedicated to a project.
Already contracted.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Another question.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman. So does this include landslides? Is that considered as an emergency program?
Chairman Hannon, from the DOE, yes and no. There are some landslides that we cover that are within our normal budget that we get no federal reimbursement for. Others come in clumps that are large enough that we can apply to the federal government to actually apply for the standard set for the federal emergency fund. So there's quite a few slides that we clean up that aren't included here. It's just in the normal job of a maintenance person that's out there.
So this only applies to the program that qualifies under federal program.
That's correct.
Federal. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just want to say there are a lot of landslide problems outside of Three Homes on Highway 20, east of Three Homes. And I understand the highway department just put up gates and shut off the highway and not take care of the problem. I think I've mentioned that to Grace before. So if there's money for it, I think it should be addressed immediately rather than put up gates and shut off traffic.
Mr. Kendall?
Hi. Chair Hannon, Senator Yee. The reason those gates were put up was there was not an intention that we weren't going to deal with the problem. It was that in a short period of time we had so many highway closures that it was inefficient for us to continue to take up temporary traffic control devices, and that we just decided to put the gates up there because the highway kept falling in the river. I'm not sure. There was a job at Sheep Creek, which is up by Housewife Campground, and I'm not sure if that's included, if that's been completed or that's included in this dollar amount. I can't remember if that job finished or not. But that would be the type of project that this kind of money would repair, those major, huge damages that occur to highways.
Okay.
Follow-up question.
Yes,
Were you looking to it to see if Highway 20 is included in the program? Because people there don't like to see highway being closed off.
Chair Hannon, Senator Yee, I don't believe that highway's been closed this year, to my recollection. We might have closed it one time for snow, but I don't believe it's been closed. I don't think those gates have been used this winter.
Because of landslides?
Not right now.
Well, not right now, but...
It has been in the past during high precipitation events and some floods. We have closed it. We closed a number of highways, but I don't believe that that's been closed this winter.
It was a pretty recent situation.
Okay, thank you. Further questions? Senator Lubb.
Option from areas that occurring almost the same time, almost the same year. Could you take some kind of a preventive measure instead of trying to fix it, maybe fix it before it could happen? Could we predict some of those things? Might be able to save some money out of
there. Sir, the only thing I think we can predictably look at is death and taxes.
But, for sure.
Yeah. But when forecasting when an avalanche or landslide or if we probably knew, we could probably make a small fortune off of people's misfortune by saying you're going to have an accident on this given day at this given time. But I don't think there's anything that the ODOT can do to project that type of circumstance. Grace or Mike?
Chairman, Senator Lynn, we do have some areas that slide more regularly than others. My guys like to tell me that there are slides you fix and slides you name. And we do have some slides that have names in the state, but where we know what the name of the slide is, and that is it's less related to rain and some other factors of Mother Nature, but rain plays a part. We try and systematically in the budget find some funds in every region's budget to address those areas and provide a more permanent fix where we can. But, for example, on the Alsea Bay. There were quite a few slides on the road, the Alsea Bay Highway, the Alsea Highway, excuse me. There were quite a few slides along there, and the timber cut that was cut over 60 years ago, so you can hardly attribute it to that. There might have been a road failure of a private logging road that failed. We just don't know, and there are other slides that just happened, and we have to clean them up, and we haven't been able to regulate the rain or anything else. But in terms of those places where we know there are active areas, we've done our best to take preventative measures where we can. We have limited funds to do that with, so it's not a real systematic huge investment, but it is affecting where we can.
Sure. Yes, Representative Butler.
We don't have enough. We don't have enough to make a quorum right now. But I thought I'd just make a comment that the next time that Director Franken decides to name a slide, I have a local county official back in my county that I'd like to name one after, if I could.
I think we're going to have slides in your part of the state.
I know, but if I name one over here, then I'll I won't create any problems back in our district.
I'm not going to name here yet. If we can, I'd like to take a motion, and as soon as we have a third member of the Senate, we can pass the motion. But the Chair would now move the LFO recommendation of $140,682,748.65 FTE. And we'll wait to round with one of our third members and move on to...
What were you reading, Mr. Chair?
Okay. Chair would now move we adopt the LFO recommendation on the Highway Emergency Relief Program, $5,473,379.71 FTE. And further discussion? If not, is there objection? That has been so approved. Okay, the next item.
Chair.
Our other local government. Yes.
Page 19. This highway local government program covers a number of activities that involve local government, including the local government fund exchange, the special city allotment, federal aid project, and assistance for transportation system planning activities. The governor's revised current service level is $146,357,139.80.99 FTE. LFO recommends technical adjustment for attorney general charges for a total current service level of $146,348,337. LFO is recommending the reduction for information systems. A technical adjustment to the T21 for the 2 month salary for a total of $40,135,594.19.32 FTE. That is a reduction of $241,566.2.32 FTE. LFO also recommends the local government program support package of 8 FTE with the adjustment for salary. That is a reduction for a total of $854,563. Total budget is then $186,969,105 and 107.67 FTE. With the administration indirect charge adjustment, that budget will be $173,255,654, and there are no budget cuts.
Okay, Representative Passage, you wrote the chair a note, and would you like to express your motion at this point?
Chair, there's a $30,000 or $30 million in the bond impact. I'm not sure the status of that. I need to get the bill number, but in addition, there was $5.8 million scheduled to reduce the bonding package or for to pay the bonds back as the revenue source out of the gas tax dollars.
think this is a critical program, and I'd like to see us put the $5.8 million in to the program for the debt service. Should the bonding package pass? If it doesn't pass, I'd like to see the $5.8 million spent on this, on the off-street improvements that will increase, that will prevent us from having to do so much modernization around the state and take vehicles off of our local highway, off of state highway. So I'd like to see that 5.8 put in here.
Okay, let me ask a question. Grace and Mike, could you identify the representative was talking about $5.8 million? Is that included in this, or is it extra?
Mr. Chairman, the $5.8 million is in an unlimited budget, the debt service payment.
So it will appear later in the non-limited.
If I might suggest that we wait towards to the end of the total budget, and by then maybe we will know the decision on the revenue bonds for both of these packages. And what we could do is we could put a budget note in that requires the department to come back to the emergency board for an increase in their expenditure limitation for that purpose, should the revenue bonds not be approved by the legislature, to be used in the local access program. And then you can be assured for it.
Are you comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Representative Schrader, next.
Just clarification. I mean, we're talking basically one big revenue bond thing of $20 and $50 million, and the total debt service is $5.8 million. Part of it shows up in the highway safety portion of budget, and part of it shows up here in the local government. It's all one program.
That's
correct.
Representative Bett.
And is that debt service contingent on new gas tax revenues, or is it something that we could fund with existing?
Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, representative, the bill number is House Bill 2197.
Let's see, the total of those revenue bonds is $58.4 million because they include the debt service in the bond.
Yeah, debt service for the whole package is $8.4 million.
Right.
Including bond issuance.
Mm-hmm. So it's $58.4 million that would be for us under that
arrangement. Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, only $50 million would be borrowed. $8.4 million would come from the highway fund to pay debt service and issuance costs.
I see.
So there will be $8.4 million highway fund claims.
On your LFO recommendation, the $13,713,451 administration and indirect charge adjustment by reducing that from the $186 million, where does that $13 million then go to?
Mr. Chair, that $13 million goes into special programs for administration indirect charges that will be adjusted during the
Okay, there is a trust account.
It's a clearing account, if you will.
Oh, clearing. Okay. Alright. Is there further questions or discussions?
So Representative Patrick, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Representative Patrick is concerned about the $30 million and the unlimited amounts for the bond debt service. We're going to just pass on that at this time and address that at the end of the budget then.
I'll make sure that we do that.
Okay. Your further discussion. Representative Patrick now moves that we adopt the LFO recommendations on the highway local government program, $173,255,664, $107.67 FTE. Is there further discussion? If not, is there objection? If not, it's so approved. Ms. Gordon?
You share that in?
Driver and motor vehicle?
Okay.
Oh. Okay. So this is the first through the 10th section. Is that correct?
That's correct. Those are about all of the highway programs.
Okay.
And we can go on through the rest of the handout. As I've given it here, we can move to transportation development. They continue with transportation.
I'd like to keep moving as much as possible because we have during the work session tomorrow morning, and I'd rather not interfere this with our hearing work session tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
I'd recommend, since Dan Curry isn't here, that we bypass driver and motor vehicle and move on to...
Sure, we can get they're close by, whoever you wish to.
Okay, okay. And let's move on to driver and motor vehicle.
Okay.
And while they're getting, Dan, I would like to pass out to you a summary of the highway program detail. And so you can have that for your notebook with the changes. Driver and motor vehicles is on page 20. With the spreadsheet following.
What is this one?
That's the highway program. That's a summary of all of the highway programs in one, all the packages
here
that we just finished. Governor's revised budget for driver and motor vehicles' current service level is $125,989,025.917.78 FTE. I'm recommending a 4% general fund reduction for efficiencies of $5,965 from the current service level, and a reduction of $25,469 for the Attorney General charges for a total current service level budget of $125,957,531. Policy package 118 is the driver and motor vehicles efficiency reductions of $2 million, and LFO recommends the reduction. Policy package number 129 is the driver license and ID card changes that is tied to substantive legislation that has passed both houses. LFO is recommending the reduction for the savings that that legislation for the savings, $99,959. Package number 130 is the DMV process improvement. That is tied to substantive legislation. You can see there are several pieces of legislation, but one of those is likely to pass both houses, and I'm not sure which one is actually moving it, but it is moving forward. That is a reduction of $264,943 and 2.86 FTE. The central hearings unit is 46, a reduction of 46 FTE in this budget and an increase of $938,812. We are removing those packages from all of the agency's budget, so that is a reduction here. That legislation is in Ways and Means and is being heard currently, so it's likely to be, it may be put back. So that results in a total budget of $123,591,353 because of taking out the central hearings unit, but it's an increase of FTE because I've put back the FTE that would have been reduced or shifted to employment. So there's a 913.09 FTE. There are three budget notes that have been requested. The first one was requested by Representative Butler and Senator Bryant, that the Southern Deschutes County and Northern Klamath County do not have convenient services for driver and motor vehicles. Citizens must travel to Bend from Lapine, 32 miles, or Klamath Falls to Gilchrist, 80 miles, to find a DMV office.
If DMV reduces or closes an office, the DMV shall consider opening an office in La Pine before opening a new office elsewhere, and the department shall report to the emergency board on its efforts to open an office in La Pine semi-annually during the interim. The second budget note.
Excuse me.
Do
you have a sheet for about the budget note?
It's right on the back side of is there a budget note on there? The handout.
20. Page 20.
That language has been modified.
Do I have a look at it?
That's the 517 language.
Handout. Oh, I see it. Thank you. Okay. And I have made some changes, so I will make sure you get it.
Okay.
The second budget note that is recommended is for a driver and motor vehicles to take action to ensure that the online vehicle registration system and customer service enhancements are implemented early in the biennium as recommended by the Advisory Committee on Privatization, and the department shall report on the results of implementing these technology initiatives, including associated costs and efficiencies gained, to the emergency board by July 2000. This is requested by Representative Loken and co-chair to be included in this budget. It's a follow-up on action that was taken in substantive legislation during the last biennium, or last legislative session. And it is my understanding that the projects are on the agency's work plan, and they do intend to implement them during the interim. So that. The department shall also investigate the feasibility of converting the barcode identification system on Oregon driver licenses to a magnetic stripe and report findings to the emergency board by July 2000. This is a request of Representative Butler to facilitate the ID requirements for liquor controls regulation, and I would... I understand that the department had looked into magnetic stripes when they converted to the 2D barcode, and that there is information that they would be happy to share either during the interim or with the committee.
Okay. Representative Schrader.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recommend another budget note in this area, if I may, regarding there was testimony about not covering the cost of the driver program. And the department indicated an interest in perhaps some preliminary work in that area. I wonder if we could get DMV to look at privatization of the DMV driver program and report back to the next legislature also.
It's a very connected question. How many times has the DMV been looked at for privatization?
Mr. Chair, since I've been there, it's been only the one time. But I would say that history sometimes.
In 25 years I've been here, it's been looked at either 7 or 8 times. And I was just wondering, do you have other reports to show what DMV could or could not do?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, one of the things we are doing on the driver license side is looking at privatizing, and have already privatized the commercial driver's test, and we're in the process of privatizing the actual skill test for the regular driver's license. And the motorcycle test, we have other groups who are doing those tests. So we've done parts of it. The difficulty on the driver license side is there the part that's really, I think, creates the cost for DMV that ends up not being recovered in the private sector are those things that we really can't charge for. There's a lot of overhead that we do in keeping track of all of your tickets. Well, I'm sorry, you might not have tickets, but all of an individual's driving record, getting that information for the courts and putting it on, keeping suspensions. I think those things are government functions. To me, I think it's more appropriate that we're the person who's suspending your license as opposed to the private sector and tracking that information. But that's where I am on it. But if you want us to look at it, we can look at it again.
Just to follow up.
Yeah,
real quick. That just, again, I didn't hear that when we were discussing the budget earlier. It was, you know, that the driver vehicle related revenues consistently exceed the cost of operating the vehicle program, although the revenues in the driver program are falling far short of operating costs. So, if that's the overhead that you're talking about that would make the difference, that's fine, I guess. But if not, then, you know, if someone else can do it, or we need to increase the charge, I mean, if we're not covering the costs, then that's the other way to look at it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Trader, you, as a part of the 8-year driver's license, those fees are going to go up some, and there will be some increased recovery. I still don't think it ends up covering the full cost.
But it's going to be a short-term recovery until the first cycle is over.
No, it would be an ongoing.
Be an ongoing.
An improvement. It will reduce our work, and the fee goes up a bit for the.
Okay.
I mean, for 8 years, it's not really up.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment, and respectfully, that regardless of the studies that have been done over the last 10 years of privatizing anything, I think that we always have to take a fresh look at that, because it's happening not only throughout the nation, but throughout the world. Successful privatization of what was traditionally a government function, and I would just, with respect to Ms. Curry's comments about it being a government function, there are portions that the government would retain the authority and responsibility for these functions, but the data collection and a lot of other things could be left to somebody else. It's very similar to privatizing the prison system. If we can do that throughout the United States, I think we can privatize the DMV.
Representative,
sir. There is a bill I know out to help have a private sector kind of do a little bit of this work, at least transferring some of the information efficiently to law enforcement and stuff, trying to work cooperatively with DMV. And so I think that is a province, kind of following what Senator Cusack says, that maybe we could have someone else do that and relieve some of the burdens that DMV can do the things that it needs to be doing, which you do very well.
Okay. Good question.
I just have one person.
Senator Lim.
Thank you very much. We got a lot of problems in our state concerning the minors trying to buy the liquors. And then, is there any way that the licensees could identify the minors easily when they look at the driver's license? Just some kind of a red stripe or something when they see the license. If it is sure that they are minors without looking at details of it, because it has to do with the accidents and safety, a lot of issues involved in it. I'm wondering how could we improve that without legislation from your own or the administration's rules.
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, the driver's license now has on it a piece of red information that says minor until and gives a date. The striping, one of the difficulties with it, if you were to stripe the license or put some kind of other indicator on it, what happens is the young person either has to then, once they reach the age, we issue a 4-year driver's license, next time it'll be an 8-year driver's license, the young person would have to come in and will come in to change it so that it doesn't show the stripe on the card, so they'll be able to get in. So it'll increase our work during that time frame. But we think that the information that's on there, we work with the law enforcement and other groups to help design that license, and it does indicate that the person is a minor until a certain age, a certain date.
Representative
Butler. Mr. Chair, that's exactly the point to which I wanted to refer relative to my concern about the barcode striping is that Oregon is one of the very few states that does not use the barcode striping at this particular point, and that's the information. Again, this is advancing very rapidly. Barcodes, right now the process of renewing every 4 years or periodically the licensing, barcodes can be updated by a machine just by running it through this. As the people pay their fee, it can be rerun through, everything else is checked on it.
Their picture is not updated. It's not done by the mail, but it is done by the barcode striping and everything else. And any other changes? It appears to be substantial. They may have to do some other issues, but the barcode striping is an issue that will give us a uniform system, not just for the DMV, but also for the OLCC, as well as the potential for being able to use eventually, if we move to the barcode striping, much like 48 other states have already done, then what would happen is that as our OSP stop an automobile, or as a person comes in to buy an alcoholic beverage in this state, it's just striped through, and OLCC can have a printout to directly access to a national database that would give them access to a huge amount of information without entering anything in so that people would know if it was a license that was stolen, an automobile was stolen, or a person that was had killed someone in a nationwide killing spree, immediately 911 would respond. They're telling to jump back in a patrol car and dust. So I think it's an excellent opportunity for us to make some uniformity all the way across, particularly with the innovations in technology that's moving forward so rapidly.
Mr. Jordan, I would propose a budget note that would direct the DMV to look into privatizing any additional functions and reporting back in this interim to the emergency board and the House and Senate Transportation or the proper legislative committee on what the recommendations might be.
Mr. Chair, can you define any additional functions? When you say that, what do you mean?
Driver's license, registrations, motor vehicle related.
What all is activated at DMV? When they do a background check on somebody, do they go through their DMV record as well?
When who does the background check?
Well, like the insurance company. They don't like to sell you insurance if you're poor risk and you have a whole bunch of citations. So do they go through DMV background check?
Most insurance companies will go through a background
check. And is that a fee for service?
Yes, there's a fee for it. Some of them go through private people who do provide information like that. Some get purchase the record directly from DMV. So you can get that record from a variety of different locations, either DMV or a vendor who specializes in getting DMV records from all.
Okay, I'd like to really encourage you to look at all issues of privatization. If it's that system that allows independent people to have access to your records and disclose that information, maybe it's something you should look at divesting the state of, if it doesn't have anything to do with administration. Because insurance agents, if they're paying for it, they're either getting the information for less. That must be why they're not going to the state.
Well, maybe one people in the chair or something else, but the fact of the matter is that an insurance company is getting information from somebody who's purchased the record, that it has to be reliable. Therefore, a private sector
entity can give you reliable additional elements that I was referring to. That I'd like to have you take this on as interim report and put it back to the proper legislative committee. Okay. Representative Schrader, does that reach your comfort level? Okay.
And
that's
on the Transportation Committee, Senator Schumer. Pardon me, Senator. Is that report going to the Transportation, Senate Inform and Transportation Committee?
Or the proper Transportation Committee. It might be a Senate now, separate, or it might be a Joint Committee on Transportation, whichever one is there. As well as report back to the E-Board. Is there further discussion? If not, Representative Schrader.
Mr. Onik, are we on to the hearings panel? Are we still on this budget?
DMV?
Yes. The hearings panel? of $900,000. Is this just a transfer within the agency? I understand the whole issue, but is this $900,000 that was in there in addition to the $900,000 we already have?
This is in addition to their FTE cost.
And you're taking that out, pending dealing with that in the substantive legislation, correct?
Correct. Okay, the chair would now move that we adopt the LFO recommendation of $123,591,363.913.09 FTE. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is a 40% position increase.
Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair, hearing you, this is not a 46 position increase. It has been proposed to decrease the budget by 46 by shifting the existing FTE to the central hearings panel in the employment department. This budget recommends the status quo. Leave it alone.
So is it being transferred?
No. Not in this budget. No transfer. If it is to be transferred, it will occur when the substance of legislation is adopted. If the substance of legislation is adopted.
And then we'll have the transfer.
Okay, is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. And that includes the budget note. We are adjourned until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Again, we have a hearing of work sessions. And if we can get to DM or ODOT's budget immediately following the hearing, we will spend time on it in the morning. If not, we're adjourned until 8 a.m.